Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going?
It's going all right. How about yourself?
Busy, 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 busy. Like a bee.
Karma, 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 karma chameleon?
You come and go. You come and go. It's a cruel summer, leaving me here all alone.
We built this city on rock and roll.
And landfill,
and
unfortunately.
Mostly landfill. That's structurally unsound.
Unsound.
And
there's
when the earthquake comes,
and a
we'll
lot
be
of
in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Then Starship's song about San Francisco will appear prophetic.
Indeed.
But not until then. I'm busy because I have spent the last couple of weeks writing the update to my book about photos.
I
did the Take Control crash course on photos for Mac. Was the first version that came out 2 years ago when Photos came out. And I did a short update last year for 1.1, which was the version that shipped with LCAP. But, I call it LCAP. I can do that. I'm from Yosemite.
Fine. That's fine.
EC, the captain. Anyway, there's a new version, obviously, with Mac OS Sierra. And so I did an update of the book to cover all the stuff that's in there, including like machine learning and all of that. I made a slideshow called Photos Thinks These Are Dogs, which is great because some of them are not dogs. There's like a cow. There's lots of cats. But that was kind of fun to do. So I've been doing sort of like looking at every new feature and putting all that in there because the book is going to be kind of like an upgrade and update to the old book. And then I decided this year, Apple's come so far with that product. I mean, not just naming it Photos instead of iPhoto like the old version was, but what they've added on iOS and macOS that I just decided I needed the book to be about photos. Not just about photos on Mac. So
about photos, not about photos.
Not about photos, but about photos and photos and photos. The entire genre of photos. So I had to write I wrote a bunch of stuff about photos on iOS and even on Apple TV, on the new Apple TV. So that's been my last couple of weeks. And I just, like moments before we started, I got to the end. Now, that's not the end of my process because I have to deal with all of my editor's notes because our good friend Kelly Turner, who used to work with us at Macworld, is my editor for this book.
Wow, nice.
And so she's kind of going through behind what I'm writing and doing all of her edits and comments and requests and stuff. And so, to be honest, I can't bear the thought of looking at those comments and requests right now. So I turn them all off when I'm writing. And so I know they're there. I know the track changes button
lurking.
Says 200 changes have been marked. And I'm like, I don't even want to know right now. I don't want to know. But I am at that point now where I'm going to have to go back and do like the book summary and edit and address all of her edits. But then we'll be done, which is exciting because that was my, you know, I can't even start writing like about, I want to write about iOS and macOS Sierra and stuff like that. But I had to get the book done first, which is good because like there's an Apple event next week, so clearing the decks.
I hadn't heard.
I'm going to Bill Graham, either that or they're putting on a concert at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium on a Wednesday morning, which seems weird to me.
That's nice of them. That's generous.
Yeah, free concert apparently.
Free concert.
Yeah, you just have to pay for parking. The parking.
Brief advertising pitch, yeah. And then free concert.
Yeah, something like that. I do. Mike and I did do our draft. And I did predict a musical guest.
I did hear this. And Frank Ocean, I believe, was your bonus pick. See,
yeah.
I listen, I pay attention.
Yeah, if Frank Ocean is there, then I am the winner, is what I'm saying. Or if Spinal Tap is there, frankly. But they're going to say that for iOS 11.
Odds are low.
iOS 11.
Next year. Yeah, that
next
sounds
year.
Good.
It's going to happen. So anyway, busy time. And the funny thing about it is, I mean, this is like the below the waterline kind of busy time. But for people who write about this stuff, this is it, right? Because we're going to have Apple event, new Apple hardware to think about. Then that hardware is going to ship. When the hardware ships, iOS is presumably going to ship within a day or two of that. And then there's this question about when Sierra is going to ship. My guess is it's probably going
to
ship around the same time
iOS.
because they have things in common that, you know, you wouldn't want to say, hey, we did the great software update that enables unlocking your Mac from your Apple Watch, but you can't yet because that OS build isn't out yet on the Mac side. They can't do that, right?
So no, I think they'll launch them at the same time. They've done better at staggering the software from the hardware.
Yeah.
Because there was a year or two where they were like, let's do everything at once. And it's like, this is madness. Why would you do this?
All of our iPhone activations are happening at the same time. Everybody's hitting the very same servers to update their iPhones. It's like, no. No. So I don't know what the prediction is. I guess people are figuring if Apple goes by their usual, it'll be the 16th of September, which will be, by the way, I want to point out, not only is that my wife's birthday, and I'm not going to detail how old she'll be on that birthday, on that day. Not only is it the most common birthday, actually, but it is also the second birthday of sixcolors.com. September 16th.
Interesting. I'm sure that was what they had in mind when they picked that date.
Yeah, that's every time they do the six colors now, they're totally referencing us.
That's a little Tim Cook, there's a little wink in your direction.
And not the rainbow Apple logo at all.
No. They don't talk about that.
No, they don't want to. No, they it's sort of a secondary reference that they make. No, so in theory, something like September 16th could be the day that this stuff drops. So although, again, maybe iOS and macOS drop on the 14th or something like that, but the week of the week after next. So everything is happening. And if the rumors are true and the Mac is not going to be announced, I wrote my my piece for, was that my Macworld piece or that might have been,
I think you did a Six Colors piece.
That one was the Six Colors piece too. Boy, yeah. I am writing in too many places and too, like I said, busy, Dan, busy. But it's like the Mac stuff, right? I wrote that on Monday. It's like, where's it going to go? Like, where's the Mac going to go? If Mark Gurman at Bloomberg is right and they're not intending on talking about the Mac maybe beyond the existence of Sierra next Wednesday, then, boy, you know, how much longer are we going to wait for the Mac? They keep saying that Mac stuff is out there. So is it going to be early October or something before we really hear about the Mac?
You know, I'm going to side with Mike Hurley on this one in that I feel like the MacBook Pro with the rumored touch bar thing, that just begs to be done on stage.
I know.
And I got to think that they're going to talk about it and then ship it later in October.
So I when I wrote this for Six Colors, as you reminded me earlier this week, one of the things that I underplayed it because I think all of my instincts are saying that it's unlikely to happen. But I, you know, 2 years ago, what they did was did a small Mac focused event. It was Mac and iPad even. So it was actually even broader at Town Hall. The month after they did the September 9th when we went to the Flint Center, right? Remember that? It was our last day on the job. And then, like early October, they did an event at Town Hall where they rolled out a new iPad model and a bunch of new Macs. And I keep thinking they could easily do that again. I know that Tim Cook, he hedged a little, but he basically said this may be the last time we're in Town Hall for an event and it's got a great history, but there's nothing precluding them from doing a Town Hall event. It's on their turf. They control the guest list. For a Mac event, people don't care. Like the world of journalism that cares about the iPhone does not care about the Mac.
They could even drop it somewhere else. I mean, they could do it anywhere, right? They could get Yerba Buena if they wanted to. They could probably get another venue.
I don't think they want to. I think if it's like if you want to introduce the Mac in October, you got to rent a space somewhere else. I don't think they're going to do it. Well, but they could do it at home.
Here's the reason that I want to believe. Well, I want to believe it's true. No, well, here's the question for me. If there's no iPad and there's no
I'm picturing that Fox Mulder poster, except that there's like a MacBook Pro on it with a touchscreen bar. And it's, I want to believe that's in your house right now, isn't it, Dan?
It is. It's hanging over my computer.
Anyway, you were saying.
So there's no, I agree with the general trend. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any hardware updates for the iPad. That seems unlikely to me.
Yeah. All signs are pointing, and this has been since, you know, people we know talked to people who seem to know at WWDC that the strategy was what Gurman is now reporting to, which is spring. We'll do the iPads in the spring. We may do the software for the iPad in the spring later. It's later.
Well, and I think that part of that is also that they've realized that pressing major iPad advantages every year does not help them in any way.
Yeah.
Because it's not growing the sales hugely, and it's not a product that gets refreshed.
And they just turned it over.
I think that's fine.
They just did
exactly. It. Yeah, it's fine. They don't need to do that again. I think Here's what my feeling is. If you've got the new phone, which is obviously going to take up a bulk of time, it sounds like you have a Watch 2, but I think it's going to be very similar to the Watch 1.
Yeah.
You're going to rehash iOS 10. You're going to rehash Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Is that the end of the event? Because that seems... I mean, I don't want to be like the guy's that's underwhelming.
I mean, the new iPhones are going to be the bulk of the time, right? It's going to be new iPhones and maybe they'll,
Yeah, I guess the question is, is there enough? I mean, is this an hour event or a two-hour event, question.
It's a two-hour event, but
I feel like you got some space. I feel like you got some space to
fill. Never underestimate the amount of time that they can spend doing a game demo based on their new graphic stuff in iOS 10 and a music demo with hopefully Bozema and not Eddie Q. But never underestimate what Apple can do to vamp.
I guess
it's photography with
sure, and it's gonna. I mean,
and
I guess the
of course
question
Frank
is,
Ocean playing music at the end.
And one more thing, I feel like I hate the iOS and macOS rehashes that they do.
I know,
because you've seen this all at WWDC. There's not really anything new.
I understand why they do it though, because
most people don't care
about an operating system that is going to ship eventually, but they do care about an operating system that'll be on their phone in a week. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand why it's like a recap at the beginning of a TV episode, right?
Yes.
It's
previously on Apple.
I hate that because I made that joke in a podcast earlier today that won't go out till tomorrow.
Oh, no.
I trampled my own joke. It's cool.
Is that the rebound?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Was Lex on this week?
Lex was on for half of it.
Oh, okay.
And then he left.
All right. He's got a new job now. I think he's more available for podcasts.
He won't be on next week post-event. We have a special guest lined up, actually. New special guest who has never before been on the show.
That's exciting.
I won't say anymore. I'll leave our fans.
Well, it's not me then, because I've been on twice.
You don't. Yeah. Well,
making me
also,
the most prolific
guest
ever on the rebound.
Well, yeah, Post Guy English, was he a guest? Was he a host? No one really knows.
I think he was a permanent guest host.
We have to look at his contract.
All right.
So I guess I still, part of me, let's put it this way. I have no doubts that they could do that. It seems a little weak to me, is all I'm saying. And part of that is because I think some of the, some of the conversation around what this new iPhone might look like, combined with the fact that new watch might look like,
just look
and
over there, right?
There's a lot of rehash.
You might want to distract a little bit. Actually, that's an interesting idea.
And maybe they're going to spend 45 minutes talking about why they took the headphone jack off. I don't know, but it strikes me as something like, why wait? What is the advantage to waiting on the MacBook Pro? Is it really that they don't have enough room? Is it that it's not ready? Because if it's going to ship in October, it's close enough to ready, one would think.
Yeah, if it's going to ship in October, it might also ship in November, and they don't want to announce it yet. Although, why not? They're not selling very many of the old ones anyway. I'm kind of with you, and I guess what I would say is that seems to be why all of these stories say they currently don't plan on, or they're going to
swap it last minute too. They could drop something in. That's
clearly
not implausible.
Maybe not yet. Maybe they've decided now. But
of those leaks.
But it's possible that in the last few weeks, that's been the question: is when can we? Do we need this? Or are we able to do? We had the same conversation last year. It's like, do we lump it all in one event, which is what they did last year, or do we push some of the stuff off? And the fact that this MacBook Pro, especially, has been discussed for months now, and it sounds like there are delays, and it involves Intel stuff delaying their stuff. But at some point, if they've got it and it's going to be coming out in a month or two, that is the question of, like, why not just lump it all in here? And if the answer is we have too much other stuff, it's hard right now to look at what's being rumored for the other stuff and think, I see why you have too much stuff.
Why couldn't they cut things, right? Like, that's exactly right. They can fill the space.
But why not blow people away with your incredibly innovative new touch bar thingy that you're doing?
That's the Apple marketing term, the incredibly new touch bar thingy.
Yeah, you can see how great I would be on stage as an Apple product marketing manager, right? This thing, it's a touch bar or whatever. And
moving on, next slide.
You touch it, and it's awesome. Anyway, it's going to cost $18.99, so enjoy.
Buy it.
Tim?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks.
Jason's great. Jason's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this goes. I am also in the Apple Watch 2 will be pretty much identical to Apple Watch 1, at least externally. Cloud, whatever.
Yeah. I've said that not to promote past things I've said, but I believe like when it was announced that 2 years ago when we were there at the Flint Center, I think even then I said I think they're going to hold on to this design as long as they can, and I'm still kind of sticking by that because I think one of the challenges in getting people to spend money on a gadget like the Apple Watch is to not make you feel like a year later or a year and a half later, the thing you bought is like totally incompatible and awful.
Right,
so even
exactly.
if they upgrade the internals, add some features, if it looks more or less the same, until they're able to make it dramatically thinner, which I feel like
they're not.
They're
carving out space inside, it sounds like, by making the components smaller. And that gives them not only room to put in new stuff like a GPS chip, if that's the way they're going, but also to eventually, when they like do a redesign, you know, they'll already have smaller components that in theory they can design around. Yeah. So that makes sense to me.
It's a tough choice. I mean, our colleague and friend Brianna Wu talks about the two things that she demands from the Apple Watch, and one of them is more battery life, and the other one is that it's thinner. It's just like, okay, you know, you can't. It's going to require a lot of work to do those things because...
Especially both of them at the same time.
I know, right? And I think right now, I look at the Apple Watch, and again, I'm a man, and I've got the big watch, but I look at it, and I don't think, oh, this is terrible, it needs to be thinner. I feel like they are like, let's use the space we've got. I just don't think they're at the point where they're so ready to optimize that they can make the thing have less battery. It feels like they need to do more with the battery they've got.
I can certainly look at it and say, oh, yeah, I can see where shaving off some size on this would make a big difference from at least an aesthetic point of view, if not a utilitarian point
totally.
Of view, right? Like, even when it came out, I was like, it was bulkier than I expected, right? Like, because you're used to seeing all these concept designs, which are, like, totally unreasonable, like the car concept stuff that you see now, which is like, this doesn't even work.
Something looks like something Space Ghost would wear. It's, like, 5 inches long, and it wraps around you.
Yeah, like, translucent, and, yeah, it looks like a watch.
I actually think it doesn't look too bad on me, but when I see somebody else wearing it, I do go, oh, that is thick, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen more of them around, and I actually think they look much more... they seem to blend in a little bit more than they used to, especially depending on people's bands and stuff like that. I also have seen... You know what? I've seen a lot more other smartwatches recently. In fact, some of them, I'm not even sure what they are at this point. But, like, I thought one of them might be... It wasn't the Microsoft one, but it might have been one of the Fitbit ones. I'm not sure. Like, and I have a lot of my cousins, when I was visiting with them a few weeks ago, they're all Fitbit fanatics. And it was funny because I was having a conversation with one, and she's sort of interested in the Apple Watch, but she's like, well, you know, I really need it to be waterproof. I'm like, well, it is water resistant, you know, and it's like, she's like, really? Like, she, you know, that was apparently not something that had been communicated. And so I think about some of the features that are in there already and how they're not well messaged. So, I think that's been interesting. So I'm curious to see if they're going to try to put a new spin on things when releasing the new one. The GPS thing seems like an interesting addition, but it's certainly not something that I feel like it wouldn't get me to upgrade. Like, that's not a compelling upgrade path from an Apple Watch 1 for me. And that's because I do, you know, exercise, but I often go to it and do it at the gym. And the exercise I do outside tends to be, you know, playing Frisbee, which I don't wear it for. And even if I did, there would just be like a GPS marker running up and down a field for like an hour and a half, which seems boring. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where that goes with the Apple Watch 2 as far as if there are any other compelling reasons why I might want to upgrade. Better battery life, I guess, would be the other one if it sounds like they're putting in a more powerful battery.
Yeah, I you know, part of me thinks that it's okay if what they say is it's the Apple thing, right? It's an iterative upgrade.
Yes,
and their
absolutely.
Goal, it's a product designed, in the case of the Apple Watch 2, we'll call it. They may not call it anything, but just Apple Watch and the new version of the Apple Watch. I think you design that watch for new buyers more than you design it for upgraders, right? Because you just sold a watch in the last year and a half to everybody else. But if you can design that so that the next whatever million people buy an Apple Watch, that's who that watch is for.
At the risk of cannibalizing more stuff I said on another podcast,
forward promote.
It's the Apple Watch 1S. It's the TikTok. It's a small. It's an upgrade that doesn't make sense for people who own the original Apple Watch, but is there to entice new buyers. I think that's the way that this is going to go, is that I think they're going to do something similar in terms of, let's do an upgrade that is mostly internal, maybe add a new feature. But then, you know, maybe a year or two down the road is when we start seeing an Apple Watch 2 that's drastically thinner and, you know,
right,
is substantially different.
Yeah, and maybe that's when the cellular data comes in.
Exactly.
And the battery life comes rated that you can wear it overnight and charge it faster, whatever things are, but not yet.
It's the equivalent of an S upgrade for the phone is what I'm thinking. And I think that makes sense to me based on the way that they've talked about it and the way that they've plugged it in the past. It is also, I want to point out, 2 years since the introduction, if not the going on sale, of the first Apple Watch. And I'm glad about that because there was a lot of hemming and hawing. You know, are we going to buy new watches every year? And I think the answer is pretty clearly now, no. You know, and if I have to replace my Apple Watch every 3 or 4 years, you know, that starts to be a more reasonable expenditure, especially because I'm sure that they will come down in price a little bit. And, you know, by the big, it will be a much bigger upgrade for me 3 years later than it will be a year later.
Yeah, in a year or two, I will be much more likely to be willing to upgrade to an Apple Watch that is thinner and, or has cellular data support plus GPS or whatever else, you know, is on the agenda for that. A new NFC chip that supports other stuff. That's one of the rumors for the new iPhone, is that they're going to support a different, also additional near field standard that will let tap to pay stuff work, including apparently the public transportation system in Japan, which is a big one.
I've had a couple of funny experiences with Apple Pay recently. One of which was, I was at my grocery store, which is the Whole Foods, which has long used Apple Pay, and they've installed new terminals. And I went in, I paid something, and the cashier looked at me. He's like, "Oh man!" He looks at the bagger, and he's like, "Yeah, I gotta do more of this Apple Pay stuff. It's so much faster than the chip cards. It's so much better." You know, I was like, "Yeah, it's interesting to hear that from the other side of the fence as well." And it definitely is. But the weird experience I had was a couple months ago. I was in Chicago for a wedding, and the system, the MTA or whatever, I'm sure I'm getting it wrong. I don't know what the subway and transit system there is, but they have, as in a few other places like London, they have wireless like NFC things in the turnstiles. So when you go up and walk into the turnstile, you can, in theory, tap your phone because it uses the same standard and it just charges directly to your card. And so I was like, "Oh, this is great. I'll try this." So I walked up with my phone and I tapped it, and it's like, "All right, you've paid the few bucks or whatever." And the turnstile doors open and I walk through. And then like 2-3 minutes later, I'm on a train and I get a note that it's my charge has been denied, like declined or something. And I sort of thought about it for a while, like, "Well, that's weird." And I went and looked later, and it's like my card was working fine everywhere else. I used Apple Pay somewhere else. It was fine. For some reason, something did not connect in that network. So I believe I actually end up riding the Chicago subway for free twice, because I tried it again later and the same thing happened. I was like, "Oh, so I'm just getting free rides everywhere." So I like that as a system. Although I wish it was possible to not just have it be a, I mean, I guess it's fine if doing incremental charges. Like the system here uses, you know, like a loaded value card. And that's, you know, certainly not bad, but it is a pain to re-up every once in a while. I think San Francisco is the same way, right? If you ride BART, it's like a loaded value card.
Yeah. They still have paper tickets, but most people are using the TransLink card, which rumor has it actually is compatible with the existing NFC, and they just haven't turned it. This is a, you know,
London lets you do it for the Oyster cards, I believe. You can just use your phone to pay.
Yeah, it's funny. If again, we're going back to September 9th of 2014, but that was when we got the big Apple Pay demo, right? And I remember at the time they were talking a good game about the things that they were going to be able to do with Apple Pay, and it was stuff like cards for your loyalty cards for your supermarkets and stuff like that. And most of that has not yet come to pass.
Well, the loyalty cards thing came. They started rolling stuff out with that earlier this year, I want to say, but yeah, it's very limited.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's late and it's limited, and I think it has to do much more with deals.
Oh yeah, politics. It's because the whole fallout of stuff like the MXC and currency.
Right,
and
deals
like
and infrastructure. So we think about the fact that Apple can turn over all these iPhones in a year or two, and they all have new hardware. But you don't ever think about like the payment terminals inside every Safeway location in the United States, where there are millions, and that is or I don't know if they're millions, they're thousands or tens of thousands, and there are millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars to because they've got a system, and it's like the terminals are connected to the cash registers, and the cash registers are connected to their inventory control. It's an incredibly complex, the supermarket checkout line, incredibly complex set of technologies. And what we're saying with something like Apple Pay is you need to change your technology here. Now, the whole chip and sign thing that they changed to the U.S. has driven some change there, and that's benefited Apple Pay and Google and Samsung and everybody else.
A lot of those terminals tend to also have NFC support built in.
Right, the new ones.
But the stuff for the chip and like, pin and chip and sink.
Like Safeway doesn't do chip and pin. Safeway, my local grocery store, and it's a major grocery store chain, they're taking the liability because the deal was after last October, fraud liability fall if you don't do chip, the fraud liability falls on you. And they've just decided we're not able, I think, to upgrade our hardware yet. So we're just going to take it on the chin until we can. And so that's a great example where Apple can do everything right and even have a willing partner in somebody like Safeway or some other supermarket chain. And because of the way Safeway's built up their IT infrastructure at their stores, and judging from the terminals at my local Safeway, and I live in a very nice area, they are battered. Like they are trying to get them to survive until they can replace them. And so it looks like something is around the corner from them. And maybe somebody who works at Safeway can tell us if you're a Six Colors person. They're just not right. So maybe the Safeway loyalty plan will eventually work, but it's not on Apple to do it because there's hardware infrastructure that's hard to change. Whereas somebody like Whole Foods that had already invested in a new infrastructure, including terminals with NFC, they were able to light Apple Pay up immediately. And that had, I think, more to do with timing than anything else, that Whole Foods went all in on the new payment systems.
What's interesting, what's interesting for that for me was that for the last 2 years, just about, I've been able to use Apple Pay at all my Whole Foods and not a chip card. They literally, this latest change where they put in like these new POS things, you know, they now accept the chip card, which is, I thought was hilarious, because it just took so much longer. And at this point, I feel like I'm never going to use a chip card there because I always have my phone or my watch on me. But there are definitely other places where I run into a lot more friction from that experience, and I wonder, some of it too is how much is where is the balance of control and where is the balance of power in that, right? Like I think back to the subscription stuff that they pushed with Newsstand, right? And like they wanted to basically be able to shelter the users from personal information, and you know, obviously for people like Safeway and other grocery chains, that's their literal bread and butter.
Loyalty programs are based on that, right?
Exactly.
But if you're opting in, you know, maybe it's fine. I gotta tell you a story about Whole Foods. My Whole Foods has got, I assume, all of them now. They put in these new screens that are next to their payment readers.
Oh yeah, mine. That's what they did here too.
And the screens are these digital coupons. Did you see that? And
it's like, oh, I didn't see that.
Oh my god! So they put these screens in, and it says scan your digital coupons here, and it's a screen with a barcode reader at the bottom of it, a little laser barcode reader.
Huh.
And apparently they made a deal with somebody. They have an app, and the app is digital coupons. So the idea is when you're in the store, you get offers and you save them, and then you scan them in at checkout and you save some money, which is interesting, but also like that's their loyalty program take, is that's how they're doing it. And I thought that was weird because they've done such a good job with Apple Pay, and yet for whatever reason, and maybe this is on Apple, they don't have they don't have those things connected, or they, whether it was technical or more likely they couldn't come to a deal. And I just thought, you guys were doing so well when you embraced Apple Pay, but now you've added these weird monitor scanners and built an app to have people scan barcodes in order to do savings via coupons. And it seems so it just seems so bizarre to me. And, you know, coupons are all about buying psychology, and there are lots of weird things about coupons, and some people use coupons and some people don't. I'm very happy that, like, at Safeway now, the incentive for me to use their club card and so they can track my buying habits is that that's where the deals are. Is the deals are you get there are club prices for certain products, and that's if you have your card scanned, you get the price. And it's like, I am willing to make that deal. Also, if I want to order, do online shopping with them, they know everything I bought, so I can just go more of that, more of that, more of that, and then they bring it to my house, which is also pretty good. But anyway, so I'm baffled by the Whole Foods thing. The whole, you know, retail. Where we got on this really is just like Apple Pay is weird, and what's weird about it is that Apple, as much as Apple wants to control everything, there's so much involved with Apple Pay that Apple can't control. Plus, there's the just throw in like the legal stuff. Everybody's talking about taxes in the EU and Ireland with Apple, but what's going on in Australia with the Australian banks who want have all this who are resisting Apple Pay? And there's a real question about what the court ruling is going to be there, and whether they the way I had it described to me was whether the court ruling will be more of an American style ruling or an EU style ruling, where the American style ruling would favor Apple and basically say, you know, you guys don't get to we're protecting the consumers from the banks, and the EU style would be, we don't trust anybody, and we're going to make, you know, we're going to protect the banks from Apple. I don't know. It's wacky, but that stuff is going on too. So it's funny. This is a can of worms, and it's they really wanted to go down this path, but it shows you why Apple tries to not have stuff that is out of its control, because you get Apple Pay, which is all things considered pretty good, given what it you know, how many deals they have to make it happen.
Yeah, the only weakness with it continues to be its lack of acceptance in some places.
I know. I want to use it everywhere.
It's functionally, it's great. I have no problem. Years ago, I remember thinking to myself, as I fueled up at a gas station, got my little receipt printout, I was like, man, whatever company invents a way to get rid of receipts, like, God, those are going to be my favorite people, because I just hate having all these receipts around. I mean, and some stuff I have to save, and some stuff I just don't care about, right? Like, you know, and so I feel like I've gotten closer and closer to that. But the idea, I really love that Apple Pay, you know, will pop up a little receipt on my phone. You know, oh, you just took some money out of this account and paid for this thing. Like, yep, that was me. Great. All right. So I feel like that's just, imagine the amount of paper waste you could save, right? Like, it's just, to me, that is such a holy grail. And I understand it's going to be a long, painful process before that happens. But I'm really happy with what they've done so far. My biggest problem is just, you know, it's not everywhere. And it should be. And I think it will be, you know, pretty soon, within the next few years, I think. You know, paying with your phone, doesn't have to be Apple Pay, but Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, Google Pay, whatever, you know, that's going to be pretty standard in most places.
Yeah, I agree. This is how we're going from everybody pays with cash to everybody pays with a check to everybody pays with a credit card to eventually everybody pays with their phone or other device. That's just how it's going to be. Pays, and ideally it's pays with a tap, and it's for your bus fare and all those things, right? That's where
it's
we're
your
headed.
Digital wallet.
It's just going to
so
be
painful. So if you enjoyed this episode of the Six Colors Podcast, just tap your phone right against the screen of your device, unless you're listening phone, in which case I don't know how to do that.
Rabbit to bend your iPhone,
bend your phone
in half. Yeah. It'll pay itself, and that money will go to me.
Makes a hell
that's
of a
what,
loop right
that's
there.
What Marco should do with Overcast is that he should have a special tag that you can put in that uses Apple Pay to pay the podcasters.
I don't think you can do that, because a podcast is not a physical good.
Oh, you're right.
It has to be an in-app purchase. I'm sure he'll love that.
Well, that's not going to happen then.
Maybe
just
someday.
Link, how about this? It will link to... No, you're right. It's
what about your messages?
Good.
No, you use your messages, your Square Cash app in
messages.
Damn,
I got to solve. It is a physical good. We're going to send you a CD of our podcast.
And what we should do is actually just provide a way to like opt out from that.
Somebody was telling me, and this is probably on a podcast that people have heard.
You didn't pay for? That's fine.
That somebody told me that they heard from somebody who was going on a long road trip, and they had burned CDs of podcasts to listen to on the road trip.
I think I saw that. Might have been in the Incomparable Facebook group. Yeah. I feel like I saw this somewhere.
Well, the joke was, it wasn't a joke. I was going to make a joke saying, boy, I hope that, basically I was going to make a joke about the talk show because it's really long. And the person, I think it was maybe Mike or Steven, said, no, no, no. They specifically said that they were listening to the talk show, and they had to use two CDs.
I was going to say, how many CDs is it? It's a 5-CD set. The greatest hits.
Because you can only fit about like 70
an
minutes.
Hour,
on
yeah, 72 minutes or so.
On a CD.
Several of our Incomparable episodes would require two.
Oh, yeah, multiple CDs. So anyway, that's what I'm saying is that you'll, in Overcast, there'll be a service. Somebody will be set up to provide it where they'll take... In exchange for your money, you'll get a CD in the mail of the episode you're listening to.
See, I feel like we could do the end run where there's just like a secret, like a, not even secret, but like a box you can click, like the small print's like, we'll just not send you the CD.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like an envelope containing a piece of paper that says, this certifies
you
that you listened to the Incomparable.
It's a certificate. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's
it's a
physical good.
Jason, it's a receipt. What did we just say about receipts?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we solved a lot of problems here today, Dan.
And created some new ones.
All right, so next week, let's catch up sometime late in the week after the Apple event. And
indeed,
there'll be Apple madness going on. It'll be much better than when we were talking about weird stuff in the dog days of August. That'll for sure.
Heck yeah. I know you will be at the event, and I will not. And I don't know if we haven't really discussed this, but hey, why not here? Are we doing some sort of coverage of this event? Are we doing a talk show or something?
That's a good question.
Throwing it out there.
I think
you don't have to answer now. I didn't mean
to
put you on the spot.
I think a talk show might be good. I liked how that worked the last time. That app seems to have gotten better. I just have to bring... If I do a talk show, I have to bring my iPad because you can't do talk shows from the Mac or the web anyway. You have to use iOS. So possibly we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. We won't have to do that on a podcast. We'll figure it out.
Sounds good.
But there'll be live coverage
we'll
of some
coverage.
Sort, whether it's
we'll
you
coverage.
Live, you know, tweeting or talk showing it, or whether it's me from the scene and you remotely or something. We'll make it work.
Well, I make it happen. I feel the need to have our semi-annual repeating what they say on stage.
No, I like it. It's good.
It's like having to type out what people say a lot. That's just, you know, it soothes me. It relaxes me.
That's good. All right. You know, the surest sign that this podcast is almost over is that I've already opened the template file and named it for the edit that I'm going to do of this when I post it.
Excellent.
That is the audio equivalent, by the way, of bending your phone so it pays itself. All right. Okay, Dan, I won't see you next week, but we'll talk.
We'll talk.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.